Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. Hi, Luca.
Hey, Cayman. What's up, my dude?
Not much. Just hanging out. It's been a couple weeks since we recorded because I was trying to get us caught up on all of our already recorded episodes.
Right.
At one point, we were like 4 weeks ahead. So I was like, we just need to stop recording for a while.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to relax a little bit and work through things slowly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So man, now we're back up to only 1 week ahead. So now when we talk about stuff that's happening, it's actually like currently relevant.
I gotcha. Yeah, if we talk about things that are a month late when people listen to them, that might be a little weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, well, how's it going? Currently in Colorado, it's like 40 degrees, 4 degrees, and it's snowing, and it's very,
like,
very,
shit,
very
40
cold.
Degrees, that's nice.
Nah, right, dude? I wish it was. No, I actually don't wish it was 40. No. Yeah, it's 4 degrees. Well, actually, currently it's 6, but it's going to go down to 2 degrees tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, and I mean, lately I've been skiing a lot. Yesterday I actually hit my first cliff while skiing, which was quite terrifying. Yeah. It was a if it on the low side 10 feet the cliff.
Okay.
But it was probably a little taller than that. It was quite scary. I it took me 5 minutes to, you know, grab my balls out of my throat and put them back down where they belonged, and then do it.
How was the landing?
But no, it was my landing. So I landed, and one thing that most people do the first time they hit a few of these cliffs is they lean back too far.
Yeah.
Cause like, imagine like you're looking down, you know, and you don't really see what's below. And so like you kind of go, and I leaned back a little bit. But you're supposed to lean forward. So like I landed, and then like, I basically just slid out backwards and like spun in a circle, and there was like a ton of snow in the air everywhere. It was pretty dope, but it was Yeah, I think I may have strained my bicep a bit when I landed. I don't know how. I don't know exactly what I did, but it was a great powder day. I think there were like maybe four feet of powder. No, so 2 feet of powder and maybe 6 feet of snow underneath you that you were skiing on top of. So it was a beautiful day.
That's nice.
But yeah. Yeah, other than that, I've just been like hanging out and, you know, living life a little bit, having a good time and all that jazz. What about you?
Yeah, I've just been hanging out. I started going to the gym two weeks ago.
Oh shit, so you're like swole now or something, huh?
not super swole, no. And so me and some of my coworkers are trying to go more often. I think their set schedule is they want to go 4 times a week, which is like way more than I've ever gone to the gym, even when I was going a lot.
4 times a week as like a starting regimen? Like you guys just started and they're like, yeah, 4 times a week, let's do this?
Yeah, I told them it was crazy, but that's what they wanted to do.
That's not a good idea. They're just going to get burned out super fast.
They're trying to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday morning.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I told them I'm probably going to be out on the Saturday part. I'm trying to enjoy my weekends.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But
and you can do like physical activities that take place of working out in the gym. Yeah. The weekends.
Well, yesterday, Saturday, it was like 50 something degrees. It was actually pretty nice weather. It was windy as fuck, and that made it feel a lot colder, but it wasn't actually that cold. And Melanie and I went mountain biking.
Oh, awesome. How was that?
It was fun, but also it's been a hot minute since I've mountain biked because it's been so cold. So I wasn't quite used to it. And also it's been raining a lot recently. So some of the trails were like a lot of the dirt had washed away. So there was like, it was really rocky.
Oh yeah. We love that.
Yeah.
Well, dang, that's awesome. I mean, it seems like you're, you know, using your time off wisely and hanging out with the fam and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a little bit of snow here last week for, I want to say like, it snowed only one day, but it was so cold after that. The snow stuck around for another day and a half after that. We built a snowman. It's kind of fun. And then this week it's supposed to snow again, but I don't think it's going to last a whole week. Like, I don't know. Has your snow been like really consistent?
Yeah. Yeah. Our snow, I think there's been snow outside for maybe the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Yeah. We get like 3 days of snow at a time and then it goes away.
Yeah. That's usually how it is here too. But man, it's been dumping like crazy. Like randomly too. Like yesterday it wasn't supposed to snow and we got a lot of snow. So I don't know where it came from, but yeah. Wait, didn't you guys also, you know, use the dirty plastic ridden snow for snow cones?
Yeah, it wasn't dirty. We used clean snow.
That shit is dirty, dude.
Nah, it's fine.
You should take your clean snow, what you call clean, melt it, and then look at the water under a microscope and let me know what you think.
That's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there was like a study done about that. And then after that, I never wanted to eat snow ever again. It is what it is.
I mean, if you think that's dirty, honestly, you should just stop drinking water because it's all contaminated.
That is fucking true. You're not wrong there. Yeah. But anyway, besides our lovely lives and all of our fun stuff, what are we talking about today?
So as you may have heard, Luca and audience, there was recently a new movie released, I believe on Netflix, which is a new Matilda movie.
Now, is it a movie or is it a musical?
I believe it is because they had like a proper stage musical. I don't know if it was on Broadway. I didn't actually do that much research about the stage performance, but there was a proper musical that you could like go and see live. But the version on Netflix is, because you know how like if you watch like the movie version of Hamilton, it's just like a recording of a stage performance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure the Matilda one is like an actual movie. Like it's not just like filming the play. It's like they've taken the story from the musical and turned it into like a film musical.
Oh, interesting. Okay, okay. That's fun.
But in order to get ourselves psyched up for that, which we will be probably doing next week, so stick around for that. But today we're going to be talking about the 1996 Matilda movie.
That is the year I was born.
Nice.
Yeah.
Classic
movie. I've actually seen this movie way back when I was younger, and it's always been like one of those movies that I forgot I had seen, but like, you know how like when you're a kid you remember parts of movies that like you think about every now and then, like when like those, I guess I can't start talking about the movie yet, but basically things happen in the movie that I would think about as a kid. And like me now watching Matilda again as an adult, I'm like, oh my God, this is that movie where all those thoughts came from.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was like a huge throwback for me.
We'll have to get a little bit more specific about that later.
For sure.
But yeah, this movie was obviously based off of a Roald Dahl book. The screenplay was written by Nicholas Kazan somehow, and Robin Swicord. Both of these screenwriters have very difficult last names, but and of course it was stars Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman, and Mara Wilson as Matilda, and was directed also by Danny DeVito, which I did not know until watching it this time. It's not like a secret or anything. It's like when the credits come up, the first thing says directed by Danny DeVito. But I feel like the last time I watched this movie, I was like too young to care about the credits. And so I just never looked. But yeah, I did not realize this movie was directed by Danny DeVito.
Yeah. And he narrated it too, right?
Yeah. So he directed it. He is the narrator, and he also plays Harry, I believe his name is. It's Matilda's father.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's crazy because like the only show I know him from is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And seeing him here and like hearing his narration, I thought it was like a hilarious switch over from that show.
I gotta be honest. Never mind. I'll save it for when we start proper talking about the movie. But what did you think about Matilda?
I quite honestly, like seeing it now as an adult, I don't know, man. It was kind of awkward and like cringy for me. There were a lot of things that happened in there where I was like, man, like, well, granted, it was like magic and whatnot, and that just wouldn't happen in general. But there were a lot of like social norms that were a thing back in 1996 that are just not even acceptable today in today's days. And there are just a lot of weird things that were happening. But at the same time, it was quite a throwback. Yeah. To see a movie, you know, filmed in like those, you know, old times with like all the different wallpaper types and the patterns, the colors in the homes, the way people dress, the cars.
Yeah.
That was cool for me to see again.
Did you have wallpaper in your childhood home?
No, because my mom was like an interior decorator. So she did like a lot of faux finishes for our homes that we, grew up in. But I remember when we first moved into the home in Texas that I remember the first time we walked through it before my mom had like done anything to it. The wallpaper in our toilets was like super like old school, like colorful. And then in one room, the wallpaper on the ceiling and the walls were clouds, like blue clouds.
That's honestly kind of cool.
I mean, it was very interesting, but you know, it's a relic of old times, basically.
Well, but I would bet money that, like with many other trends, wallpaper is going to make a comeback. I feel like right now people are like, everyone moved away from wallpaper and just started painting their walls. But like my grandma's house had wallpaper. And I think after that, every other house I've lived in has had painted walls. But I would bet money another 10 to 15 years, people are going to start getting into wallpaper again.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if they make the wallpaper, like, I guess, yeah, like you said, times always change. You never know what's going to happen. Like mullets always come back for some reason. But I don't know if like the big colorful, like over exaggerated, like each room is a different style is ever going to come back. I'm not sure about that, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see. What did you think about it?
I thought that it was kind of fun. I feel like it definitely has a level of sincerity to it. And so it's like, it's one of those movies where it's like, a lot of crazy stuff happens, but like the overall like feeling you get is like, oh, that was like, it's so sweet kind of a thing. You know what I mean? At the end of it.
That's what you had? The feeling?
I mean, yeah, because it's like, obviously the main character, like some rough stuff happens, but in the end, she like, it's a happily ever after kind of a story. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super wholesome. But the way that you get there for me was just cringe. I don't know. Yeah, but I guess we'll talk about that. You know, you know how it goes.
All right. Well, I believe it is time to step into the boxing ring. I think I'll go first.
Let me look. No, I think you went first last time.
All right. You're up then.
All right. Why did I say that? I should have just let you go. Oh, my honesty kicked in. All right. Let's see here. Matilda. A girl who was born into a family that was atypical was growing up to being, oh my God, I'm so bad right now. This is terrible. I'm out of practice. Grew up to be relatively 6 years old with powers and a knowledge base that her family had no idea about. She has always wanted to go to school and achieves this, but runs into some trouble with the law and the school's principal Trunchbull. Okay, that's it. Wow. That's tough.
Okay. I'm gonna say a gifted young girl struggles to deal with her dismissive family and cruel principal, but soon discovers that she has magical powers.
Oh, I forgot magical powers. Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, let's hear the real thing.
Okay. This says, an extraordinarily intelligent young girl from a cruel and uncaring family discovers that she possesses telekinetic powers and is sent off to a school headed by a tyrannical principal.
All right. Well, you win. That was almost verbatim what was on there.
I'm honestly blown away how close I got.
What the fuck? Yo, listeners, he's obviously cheating. That is some bullshit.
Promise.
Hell no, bro.
Hand on my heart, did not cheat.
No, hand on your ass. That was fucking straight off the book. All right, well, you win. What the fuck? Damn.
The one thing you didn't say was tyrannical. I got the order wrong. Yeah, I said cruel principal, not I there's a lot of synonyms here, because I said gifted young girl, they said intelligent young girl, and then I said dismissive family and they said uncaring family. And
yeah, who uses uncaring as a word?
That's weird. I said magical powers and they said telekinetic powers.
Yeah, that really sounded like you kind of cheated there, but I'll let it slide this time.
I promise I did not.
Alrighty, well, ladies and gentlemen, Cayman wins this.
I think that's gonna have to go on the scoreboard for
cheating.
Summary to try and beat for both of us, because I don't think either of us have ever done that good before.
No, that was spot on. Next time I'll just read it from the source. Alrighty.
Listen, you don't have to. I can't prove it to you, but
no, you can't. You can't do it.
I didn't look at it.
It's cool. I don't really care. You know, cheaters are going to cheat. What can you do?
Ridiculous.
Can't be mad.
All right. Well, let's take a short break and then we'll come back and get into it.
Let's do it. Back, ladies and gentlemen.
Indeed.
Cayman in the break confronted to me that he did cheat, so I win.
Ridiculous. No, I'm kidding,
he didn't. He did it. He won fair and square, guys. Don't worry. All right. Well, I guess we don't even need a spoiler section for this movie because it is about 26 years old.
Yeah, it's old as shit. You know, there could be some people, if they are just learning about Matilda from the Netflix movie, maybe want to go back and watch the old one. So we don't have to do anything fancy. But if you are a regular listener of this podcast, then you know what's about to happen. So if you don't want to hear us talk about it, then, you know, get out of here.
Don't listen.
All right. Let's do this thing. Let's just start off with, you know, the kiddo, Matilda.
Yep.
She's a smart ass kid,
mm-hmm.
Like genius level kid, can do all sorts of things, like big ass math equations in her head, reading when she was 4 years old, Moby Dick,
cooking,
and all sorts of stuff. Crazy kid. Shit family as well.
Yeah.
Can't forget about them.
I think that was my first note, and Elena mentioned it as well, because she watched it with me. It's kind of weird having like rude, mean Danny DeVito as the dad, but then also him being the narrator and it being like more sincere.
Yeah, the narrator was like wholesome, equal opportunity for either side, and then he as the dad was just like super dismissive and a straight asshole about everything.
Yeah, and like usually when the narrator is the same actor as one of the characters, they're like narrating as that character, but the narrator and the dad are like not the same person. And so it's like a little strange for them to be played by the same person.
Yeah. Do you think like a regular listener would hear that they're the same people?
Danny DeVito has a pretty unique voice, so I think it'd be kind of hard to miss.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. Well, that is a good observation. Good observation. What do you think about the family?
I think the family, like everyone else in this movie, is very caricaturized. I think everything they say and do is like over the top. Like I don't think that this movie is meant to be realistic though.
No, absolutely not.
But obviously, like, I also don't doubt that there are and were people that like kind of fit that mold, where they would just like spend every night watching TV, like rip people off selling broken items and like things like that.
Right.
What did you think?
I mean, I just thought the family as a whole was refreshing to see like this American family with like the TV dinners and, you know, thinking that books can't teach you anything, that, you know, TV can't teach you faster.
Yeah.
I literally think that people in that day and age, and even nowadays, like there are those families out there that like truly believe that. And then there are those outliers within that family that, you know, like don't.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing is because you mentioned the TV dinners. I don't think there was ever a point in this movie where we saw them eating like a home cooked meal. Like it was always just junk food.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only home cooked meal that was maybe shown was something that Matilda did. And
right.
Or, you know, like that's it.
And that's why it stood out to me is because at one point we see her make, I think, pancakes. And I was sitting there watching that and I was like, I don't believe that this family that sits in front of the TV and eats microwave meals every night would own flour and eggs. Like, I don't know. And Matilda's obviously like, I don't think she would steal money because she's not that kind of a person. And they definitely didn't give her money for groceries. So I was just like, where did she get these ingredients from? Because I know that that family is not buying ingredients to cook with because I know that they're not cooking anything.
That's true. That's true. Good observation there. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she went to the library by herself and
library's free.
I mean, true, but she could have maybe taken some money from her parents to like try to maybe help them get stuff and groceries and whatnot. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. Other than that, it was obviously a perfect setup for her to be cooking shit for herself.
Yeah.
Just to show off how smart she is.
There was one thing that I don't know if this is in the original book or if this is something specifically written for the movie, but and I give it a little bit of a pass because it is such an old movie, but there's one line in here where the narrator mentions something about like maybe the reason that Matilda is special is because I think he says like he mentions the thing about how people used to believe that we only use a small portion of our brains, and it always irritates me a little bit when that thing pops up in movies because that's completely untrue.
Is it though?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we only use like what, maybe 5% of our full brain capacity at like while we're awake?
No, your brain is the way your brain is set up is that different regions of your brain are in control of different things. And so you maybe only use a little bit of it at a time. But the idea that you could somehow unlock parts of your brain and be smarter is complete bullshit because you do your entire brain.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you could learn how to, I guess, push your brain's boundaries to maybe work faster, but I don't know.
Because that was the same thing as there was the, what was it called? There was a movie a few years back with, I think, Scarlett Johansson. And the whole premise of that was like, oh, she's learned how to use 100% of her brain. And all of a sudden she like is this like super soldier with like magic powers. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
You don't think that's legit, dude? No, yeah, obviously not. Yeah. I also felt extremely bad for Matilda to kind of keep going on the family spectrum. The fact that like she was born into a family like that, I just feel bad for her. Like parents that just don't care or like basically ignore the child, only use her for their own benefit. Which is why they were
you can't go to school because you have to bring in packages.
Yeah, like my illegal business, the, you know, whatever I'm doing, you need to be here so that, you know, people outside don't start thinking or, you know, that kind of shit. Like,
but obviously their ignorance ends up getting the better of them because neither of them are smart enough to realize that the FBI is watching them.
Although she's telling them like, that's the police.
Yeah.
They're like,
and they even like come into their house and they're like sitting on the couch at one point.
Yeah.
And they still refuse to believe that they're in trouble.
Yeah. That's some crazy shit. But I mean, they are kind of dumb. So it is what it is.
Yeah. How do you feel about the school?
Oh, God, bro. So the school's name was, I wrote it down here somewhere. Maybe you already know it.
I read it at one point, but it's like Munchum or Crunchum or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, Crunchum Hall School. Yeah, you're right. Crunchum Hall is what the school is called. That the school is one of those things that I remember from like back in the day. It's weird. Like we see the schools, the things that we of the school that we see is the exterior, the hallway, the principal's office, and one of the classrooms. That's basically all the school that we see, right?
Yep. We don't even see any other teachers besides that one teacher.
Yeah, we only see Miss Honey, and that is it. Yeah.
And at one point, the lunch lady.
Oh, yeah, true. The lunch lady. Yeah, she was kind of cringe. But I think the school, I mean, it fit in with kind of the route of the principal, Miss Trunchbull, that they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
I feel like in 1996, the schools looked a little bit more kempt. That one looked kind of like abandoned and haunted, which is, I guess, what they were trying to maybe go for.
Yeah, everything was like brown and like dirty.
Brown, dirty, and like overgrown almost.
Yeah.
And like overgrown, and then there were like dead things everywhere. I don't know, like dead plants or like brown grass and whatnot. But I mean, I think it fit the movie well. The first time I saw it, it obviously gave the viewer like that kind of a mood. And then also the way they filmed Trunchbull coming out of the front doors of the school, which is like such a typical thing for if I would think back to, you know, imagine those days, like just two big doors. And then that's like the only entrance from the whole front side.
I think that's
kind of what it was.
They made a lot of good use of low camera angles, which is like very effective in showing like the kids' perspective of things. Like stuff is happening and then it'll get like the camera goes really low and everything looks like huge and you're like, oh, it's like 10 times scarier this way.
Right. And especially like as like you could just see the fear of the kids in the front courtyard, just like get super terrified when this woman came out with like a horse whip and shit. Like,
yeah,
it definitely brings across to the viewer and like me as a kid watching this, like fear, like that is serious fear. And just, you know, they painted that in a great way. Now, I will say once it got to Miss Honey, the one teacher whose classroom we see with like colors and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's when obviously like, oh, like this is the good guy. This is someone that, you know,
and they have like all the contraptions to like hide all the colorful stuff when Miss Trunchbull comes in.
Right. Yeah. And again, like the way Miss Honey was introduced was, I don't know if you remember the first time we also saw Miss Trunchbull, she like grabbed this girl's piggy tails and like swung her and like javelined her, or didn't javelin her, but like shot putted her across like the courtyard or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the first time we see Miss Honey in the classroom, she's taking the braids apart that the girl had.
Yeah.
So then you obviously get that feeling for, oh, like she actually cares.
Another thing that, because there was from the first time we see the school and all the kids are playing out in the yard, it was like a good amount of children. Like there was like 50 plus kids there at least.
Yeah.
And this was something that I honestly like. I don't know. It never really occurred to me because they kind of like they do bring it up. And I don't remember which one it is. I think it's one of the older girls. And Matilda's like, oh, why didn't you tell your parents? And she's like, oh, my parents didn't believe me. And Elena was like, wait a second. None of these kids' parents believe them. Like, like every single family in this town is like, yeah, you know that creepy school? They're probably fine. My kid keeps telling me that they're abusing her, but she's probably just making it up.
Yeah, I don't know. But like outrageous stories like, oh, like she threw a kid out the window. Like what parent would believe that, you know? Like things are so outrageous. At one point, they're just going to be like, oh, my kid has some crazy imagination.
Yeah. And I mean, I also obviously it's like this isn't like a hardcore, serious like drama movie. But if there was like a school anywhere close to that where like the principal was physically abusing children, like you would be able to tell, like they would have bruises and like scars and stuff.
Right.
And especially with talk about the Chokey for a second. Don't know how in the history of her shoving children in this closet, she would have not accidentally impaled one of them.
Cause yeah,
giant nails coming out of the door.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I remembered as a kid. It was that fucking cave. It was that thing like that just literally, I think that low-key scarred me for my childhood. Like that part I remembered throughout my whole life. And I didn't know where
it's
exactly
meant to be that
from.
Way. Cause it like you were saying, like there are some things that just stick with you.
Yeah. That was one of those things for me. It was crazy stuff, but, yeah, I don't know how a kid never got hurt in that box. And also she had like some weird gas in there and like the first time that Miss Honey pulled Matilda out of there, like Matilda was coughing and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck is going on in there? Like,
yeah,
what is that? Is that like just a closet, but then there's like a heating pipe behind it or something? I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's just like a burst radiator pipe or something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Crazy stuff.
But yeah, I think it's a little, and like I said earlier, this whole movie is over the top, but it feels even more over the top that they're, I guess this is the only school in town. So like maybe people don't have a choice. I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah, maybe it's just, maybe that's like the school that people go to like straighten their kids up because like the adults either don't care or the kids are just, you know, bad behaved. But quite honestly, like all the kids that we saw in that movie, besides Matilda's brother, were all like sweet and smart kids.
Yeah. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to go on to like the first time that Matilda met Miss Honey. But what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to talk about, because you had mentioned the her throwing the girl by her pigtails. And I think that because when earlier you had talked about the movie being kind of cringe, and I feel like that's maybe one of the things that made it feel that way. Because I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the special effects in this movie were like kind of campy and like very like, obviously it doesn't make any sense that she would throw this girl by her hair and then she like slides through a field of daisies and manages to pick up some flowers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's all a little ridiculous, but I feel like it's ridiculous in like kind of a charming way where you're like, it makes the film less horrible. Because if I feel like if everything in the movie was super realistic and it was like, oh yeah, all of these kids are in this school where they're constantly being tortured by their principal, like that wouldn't be a very happy movie. So I feel like having all of these like silly things in there kind of lightens it up a bit and makes it more appropriate, especially for like if kids are the audience, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That it's like a break. It's like it's a comedic break.
It's
definitely
very
needed in that movie.
Almost makes it like kind of cartoony.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this movie was meant as a kid's movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense then, because there's just a lot of things in there as an adult. You're kind of like, what? Like, why? That kind of stuff. But yeah, so she throws the girl with the pigtails. And the next thing we see is Miss Honey basically taking the pigtails out of the girl's hair. And that's where Matilda meets Miss Honey.
Yep.
And I thought that interaction was like extremely weird and like almost weirdly romantic. And I don't know.
So?
Yeah. Like all of a sudden Miss Honey was like low key in love with her because she loved to read and she was smart and she could do this math. And like the mood just like changed into like this weird cringe thing where this teacher was crushing on this kid.
It did not feel that way to me.
Yeah. It felt so. I watched this one with Sydney. And I was feeling that like inside taking the note, and then she said it out loud too. And I was like, oh my God, same. Like the note I wrote down was like, why'd it turn all romantic when she found out she likes to read? I don't know. That was like the start of Miss Honey giving me like a weird vibe toward Matilda, the kid. And that just like carried throughout the movie for me, I think, because of that first impression. And it was just strange.
I feel like to me, it just felt like wonderment. Like obviously, as a teacher, because she even said, she was like, oh well, it's okay if you don't understand some of the things because we're just reviewing stuff today. And then she like all of a sudden comes out of nowhere with the freaking huge math problem that she just like gets in her head.
Yeah.
And like if I was a teacher and some like first grader started shouting out like multiplication problems that are over 1,000, I would be awestruck.
I mean, absolutely. But just maybe it's the way they filmed it. Like it just all of a sudden it looked like she fell in love with this girl just because she was smart and could do this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it, I can see what you're talking about with the way they filmed it. I just did not get that feeling when I was watching it.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you know, I guess to each their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also the introduction of Trunchbull at the start, you know, was bad. But then right when Miss Honey like fell in love with her and like had to go tell the principal that this student was too smart for her class, had to be whatever. I think it was funny that when she like opened the door and then closed it, she was throwing darts at a dartboard with like these young girls' faces pinned up on it.
God, yeah, that was like insane.
Like some evil ass shit. Like there's just like this weird, these like weird attention to detail in the movie.
Yeah, it's weird to me. I wonder like why, for someone who hates kids so much, why would you choose to work at a school?
That's true. That's
I did think it was funny when Matilda first gets to school and her dad is talking to Trunchbull and he's like, yeah, Matilda is like such a nuisance, not like my other kid. And then Trunchbull says, all children are nuisances or something like that.
Yeah,
and
she goes.
She says, I'm glad I never was one.
Right, right. She just skipped that phase in her life.
She just popped out a full grown adult.
Kind of what they made it, what they painted it as. Yeah. Crazy stuff. At one point, because we're still talking about the school, the principal, Trunchbull, also like yelled into the microphone to basically gather all the kids to, you know, basically show off a punishment that was about to happen because one of the kids ate a cake or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think it was funny when she was yelling into the mic that the camera, what they showed was one of those old school speakers. And like every time she yelled, as if like the front facing material of the speaker was like poking out every time she yelled.
Yeah, that was another one of those, like, they had a lot of very entertaining special effects.
Absolutely. I loved all of like their little gimmicky funny things to make people laugh.
Yeah,
it worked well.
Let's talk about the cake eating scene, because that was wild. I was telling Elena while we were sitting there, I feel like that, I even if you're like fucking turned on by punishment, I would not have the patience to sit there and watch a child eat an entire cake. Like that would take the whole afternoon,
right? Like, well, maybe not like, for this kid, but you know,
all those kids would go home and they'd be like, oh, what'd you do at school today? We watched another kid eat cake, because that would take so damn long. And I feel like even if I wanted to be mean and be like, you have to sit here and eat that whole cake, I could last maybe 2 minutes and then I'd be like, okay, I got to go do something else. I can't just stand here and watch you.
Yeah. I think like the first time that I watched it, like I thought, you know, it was going to be like a cake in the face type of thing or something, or like the cake is poisoned, because that's kind of what they made it out to seem. Like when he took that first bite, like everyone was like, you know, like, oh no, don't do it. But like you said, like patience that Trunchbull showed just like watching the kid eat this, and like she was like happy about it too. She was fucking enjoying that.
Smiling the entire time.
Yeah. Well, she stopped smiling when the kid started cheering the kid that's on. True. But and also like right when the kid finished eating it, how like she shattered that giant bowl over the kid's head. Like
I literally thought that she was like knocked him out and then he was still just standing there fine. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Like weird things. I don't know. Back in the day, was that normal? I don't know. I have no idea.
Was it normal to smash glass over a kid's head?
Yeah, dude. I mean, they fucking spanked the shit out of kids back in the day. You never know what happened behind closed doors.
I mean, that's true, but a glass doesn't shatter that easily in real life. If you smash something over someone's head, they're out, and that's like a serious injury.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's true.
Like, have you ever seen, there are videos on YouTube of like people will try to like take a beer bottle and like smash it on someone's head.
Oh my
and
God,
the beer bottle doesn't break.
Yeah, I have seen that. That shit they'll is like no joke.
Fully knock someone out and the beer bottle is totally fine. Like glass is hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's thick ass beer glass. Like it's meant for stupid people that drop them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, crazy stuff. But then that kid fucking finishes that giant ass cake like a champ. And I loved also how they made the lunch lady like that made it look so disgusting. Like
she was insane. She was like had a hunchback.
Yeah, her hunchback, like her, there was snot and she was just rubbing snot in her hands. And then when she was walking away, she was scratching her butt.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is like hilarious for kids for sure. And also for me, I had a great time watching that part. So
I thought it was funny. When Trunchbull was getting mad at him, because I guess he like took some of her cake out of one of the fridges or something, and she was
like, "Yeah, but like I almost don't know if that's true, like if that's actually what happened, you know, like
I don't know."
The kid was like, "I don't know what's going on, but sure, I mean, there's no way out of this, you know, that kind of thing.
And then I think he did eat some of her cake, because there was a point where when she was like, she was like, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was it the best cake you've ever eaten in your life? And he goes, not better than my mom's.
Oh, true. Yeah. She was like, it's the best cake in the world. Some shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. You're right. He did eat some of that.
I just thought that was funny. He was like, nah, my mom makes better cake.
LOL. Yeah. True. Yeah. And then the kids started cheering and he fucking finished that shit and she was pissed off. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, because she said, because of the cheering, she said everyone had to stay 5 hours after school. And I was like, that is literally insane. Like, that was another thing that brought me back to the idea of, like, how is every parent in this town okay with that? Like, normal, what, school gets off at, like, 3 or 3:30 or something? That means those kids would be there until 8 o'clock. And none of those parents are like, huh, maybe something's wrong here.
Well, Matilda's parents were like, where have you been? And she was like, oh, like I had to stay later for school because this kid, we had to watch this kid eat a cake or he got in trouble or something like that. And he was like, you weren't here to pick up my packages. Like, he didn't give a fuck. He just didn't.
Yeah,
he
was mad. We know that Matilda's parents are horrible, though.
That's
but
fair.
It doesn't make any sense that everyone's parents are that horrible.
I don't know, man. Maybe this movie was trying to depict that every parent back then was just an ass.
I mean, even if they weren't trying to, that's what they did.
That's absolutely what they did. So true. I also thought
Miss
it was
Honey
hilarious
was
that
the only kind person in the entire world.
Wait, say that again. Sorry, I was talking. I guess
Miss Honey was the only kind person in the entire world.
Yeah, actually. Well, besides the kids themselves.
Well, yeah. But adult wise, I don't remember seeing a single other adult that was like normal.
Yeah, I don't either, actually. Yeah, no, I don't think there was. I also think it was funny that Matilda's dad, whom is a person that sells basically super glued together cars to people for like a 10,000% uppricing, upsell.
Bro, talk about things that stick with you. When that scene where he is like trying to show his son and he's like, look at this. And he like plugs in the screwdriver to like rewind the odometer. Yeah. And like make the miles go backwards. After the first time I saw this movie, I became so fucking paranoid about that. I was like, what if we like have a car and someone's like messed with it? And so it's a lot older than we think it is. That was like a genuine worry in my heart.
I mean, back in the day, that was a thing. Like, you couldn't trust odometers because it was so easy to basically fake them.
But yeah. That's one that I think out of everything in this movie that stuck with me the most.
That's funny that was the thing that, yeah, for me it was the torture chamber and for you was the scrolling back of the odometer. I'm dead.
I think the like haunting scene that Matilda does later in the movie when she's trying to get the doll out of the house.
Yeah.
I think that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I mean, from the creativity that came out of just that scene alone, like that was some serious stuff.
Yeah.
With the balls rolling down the stairs with.
Yeah. Cause like she could have just like fucked with her, but like the planning that she like made it seem like it was the ghost of Miss Honey's dad.
Genius. Absolutely genius. Yeah. Like her painting above the fireplace, like, flew off and like burned itself, and then her dad's mural came and like put himself back on the fireplace. Like that, genius. The only thing that I guess went wrong was her hair tie, but I feel like that was almost a stretch. That Trunchbull was like, that's the kid was here because of that one thing. Like,
That was funny. They did it several times. They like made Miss Trunchbull like almost seem like an animal. Like she kept like sniffing
shit.
Things. Yeah, she was like, could smell that there was children nearby.
yeah, like when she lifted it up, I looked at Sydney, I was like, she's about to smell it, and of course she fucking smelled it. And it was funny because where she smelled it was like super windy, and she didn't really have the hair tie that close to her, so I don't know, but yeah, like you said, they made her out like to be like such an animal and shit. And it's also crazy that they almost painted her like a murderer.
And when she chases the dad. I guess they never give us proof, but like I think that the assumption is that she definitely did murder the dad.
Yeah, yeah. That's the assumption.
But even when Matilda and Miss Honey go to the house the first time and then she chases them out, even after she loses them, they show her like growling as she stomps back to the house. And I'm like, damn, this woman is literally just an animal.
True. Yeah. I mean, they did make her out to be kind of like a beast, you know?
Yeah. So I wonder, the only thing I will say, I wish they would have, it's not important to the story, but I'm curious about what happened and like why she murdered Miss Honey's dad.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of like a dark thing in the movie.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, like, murder was there. I get why
they didn't want to talk about it that much, because it's a kid's
movie. Yeah, I get that too, but they could have done that in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and maybe I haven't read the book, so maybe it's explored more there. I don't know.
Oh, maybe, but I don't know. They could have changed something for the movie, because like all of a sudden, like it's all like all this lighthearted, like joking stuff, like throwing kids and just a crappy family. And then all of a sudden it's like, and she killed my dad.
Yeah.
But she never got caught. And it's like, wait, what?
It's like, it was ruled as a suicide. And then Matilda's like, I don't think your dad killed himself. And Miss Honey is like, I don't either.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then the thing is, like, as a kid, you don't really understand, I guess, what's going on that in depth, but still kind of sus, like kind of strong. Came on very strong.
But, you know, in the end, it's a happy end. I mean, it's like, I guess like Trunchbull doesn't get like arrested or anything. So
no, she just kind of runs away.
Yeah, I guess there's not really like that's the thing. For being such a happy ending, there's not really a whole lot of like proper justice that happens. Like nothing other than having food thrown at her. Nothing bad happens to Miss Trunchbull. No. And Matilda's parents also just like get away. And they're like being chased by the cops, but I guess they managed to escape, or maybe they got caught later. Because that's the other thing. They said they were going to Guam, but Guam is a U.S. territory, so the FBI could still reach them there.
Yeah, I don't know what went on there, but I also thought anyway, that was like the fastest adoption like ever.
Yeah. I like the idea that Matilda said the second she knew how to like use a copy machine, she printed out adoption papers.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. And her parents were like, okay, well, who got a pen? Like, don't waste my time. I don't know. Okay, well, before we finish up here, what did you think about Matilda's powers? And do you think they made sense in this story?
I mean, they'd never, like, give them an explanation. But I feel like it's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know. I feel like that is not something unique to this movie. I feel like there are a lot of stories where, like, the person who seems to have it the hardest like gets given a special gift. Like that's a kind of a common theme, not necessarily with like telekinesis, but like the special kid is usually the person who is living in the hardest situation.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
But yeah, I think that also was a lot in just like simple things, and going back to the special effects, but even like things like her making stuff float around the room, or even with Miss Trunchbull, there's like scenes where she's like holding a kid up by their foot, and like obviously like you can tell that the kid was on a wire and they just like erased the wire.
Yeah.
But like simple things like that I feel like are very I don't know, it's always fun to see older special effects where it's not just like everything CG all the time.
No, yeah, I'm right there with you. I thought they did a great job, you know, with that day and time movie and how they filmed it. Honestly, like there was nothing in like the with how, I don't know, like the movie dated itself, but it's still like a good watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, granted they didn't use too much, you know, special effects stuff, but when they did, like when they were floating shit around the room.
Yeah.
Like it was fun. And it was short enough is like, that you don't think about it too long.
Yeah. And like you said, you can tell like, cause like technically like visual effects, like with a computer are tend to be in certain cases, CGI has a lot of limitations. But as we can see with like the Avatar movie that came out recently, like computers nowadays can do a lot of like very realistic things. And like if you do like a CG kid floating in the air, it might look a little more realistic than like a kid being pulled up on some wires, because you can tell, even though they paint the wires out with computers, you can still tell that the kid is on a wire. And so it's like not as realistic, but even though it's not realistic, it like, I don't know, I guess it connects more on some sort of level. And maybe that's just like a generational thing, and maybe that doesn't have the same effect on younger audiences, but I feel like seeing those imperfections, like that's what makes it more fun for me.
Yeah, I can see that. I actually haven't even seen the new Avatar, so.
Well, you should.
I know I should. I heard it's pretty good. I just didn't want to add to, you know, the billions of dollars within the first whatever.
You're not trying to be part of the box office?
Nah. But they already won. They're the highest grossing film in 2022 and ever, I think.
We saw it in IMAX 3D.
Oof. You paid extra.
Yeah.
Oh. How was it?
Friggin' gorgeous. Most beautiful movie I've ever seen in my life.
Really? Okay, well, that's good to know. I guess I should watch it.
I don't want to talk too much about Avatar, because who knows, we might end up doing reviews about those in the future. But I will say, don't expect too much out of the story. I think the story in the second film is definitely has more depth to it than the story in the first movie. But I still think the plot is not the strongest part of that film, I think. And that's why I purposely was like, no, we need to see this in IMAX, because I learned my lesson from the first movie that just seeing all of the beautiful things and like the animals and the nature and the freaking giant blue aliens, and like it looks really, 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 really good. And I feel like that's my main reason for wanting to see that movie. And I think that's going to continue in the sequels. I feel like every Avatar movie that comes out, I'm like, yeah, I don't really care what's happening with the characters. I just want to go see it because it's pretty.
Damn. Okay. Well, shit, they got a bonus movie review here. Bonus alert. Avatar, the new one, just got reviewed. So you should go watch that one too.
Okay. I think if you go into it focusing on the prettiness more than the story, I think you'll be happier than if you're expecting it to be like an amazing story, because it's not an amazing story.
Perfect. Well, that's good to know. But yeah, I honestly don't have any more notes on Matilda.
Yeah, that's all I got too, which means it's time for us to go into some trivia.
Trivia.
Okay, my first piece of trivia here is that Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman, who played Matilda's parents, are married in real life.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that. Yeah. What?
It says here they separated in 2017, so they no longer live together. But Perlman said that she has no intention of getting a divorce, and that her and Danny DeVito have become closer friends since separating than they were for the last few years as a couple.
Wait, so they're still technically married, but not living together?
Yeah.
That's an interesting life choice.
Yeah, but they apparently, like, the separation was very amicable, and they're still, like, very close. Like, they have a good relationship. They just, I guess, didn't enjoy being, like, with each other anymore.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. That's their personal business, but still interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool fact.
It also says Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman became very close to Mara Wilson during production. And according to Wilson, they would often let her stay at their home and keep her entertained while her father was working and her mother was in the hospital receiving cancer treatments.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Unfortunately, Mara Wilson's mother did die of breast cancer while Matilda was being filmed, but the movie was dedicated to her mother's memory.
You're kidding me. No way.
Yeah.
So it was the kids, right?
Yeah. Mara Wilson plays Matilda.
Dude, and she did this whole movie while her mother was dying?
Yeah.
Whoa, that is crazy.
The next one here says Mara Wilson was so self-conscious about dancing for the little bitty pretty one sequence that Danny DeVito had the entire cast and crew dance along with her on set.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Wait, what dancing part?
when she like is practicing with her powers, and then there's that scene where she's like dancing on the table and all of the things are flying around her.
Oh my god, she was self-conscious about that? What?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what she's like in real life. Like, usually kids would love to you know, sing and dance like that.
I don't know.
Huh, interesting. You know, with that last fact that you did, I wonder if that's why Miss Honey was so, like, motherly and kind to Matilda, like, overly so, that made it, like, awkward for me to watch, just because maybe Miss Honey knew that, you know, Matilda was going through the shit and was just, like, over-caring for her.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Anyway, yeah.
This says, Pam Ferris, who played Trunchbull, would often stay in character even after the director had called cut in an attempt to scare the children on the set so that their fear of Miss Trunchbull would be genuine when the camera was rolling.
No fucking way. It worked. I mean, you could tell those kids were scared.
All right, we got some of our classic car facts. Anytime there's a car in a movie, you can bet we're going to at least mention it.
Yep, let's do it. Let's do it.
The Wormwoods cars, they have two cars in the movie. One of them is a 1982 Ford LTD wagon, and the one that they have at the end is a 1987 Chrysler LeBaron convertible.
Damn. I mean, the convertible was a very nice car. I like that one a lot.
And then the car that Harry sells to Trunchbull is a 1970 Buick Electra 225 sedan.
Big and heavy cars, basically. Yeah.
The I like movie that we have
a car part in this show. Awesome.
the movie implies that in the end, Matilda kept her powers. In the book, however, she loses her powers once she is moved to an older class where she is more intellectually challenged on a regular basis. Miss Honey chalks it up to the fact that Matilda was now happy and focusing her abilities on challenging reading and learning, rather than idling whilst being belittled by her own family and Miss Trunchbull.
That was in the book. Interesting. Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, I mean, if she has these powers and she can do all this stuff, like, you know what I mean? There's a lot she can do.
But yeah, I guess in the book, when she actually has more to think about, she just can't use her powers anymore.
Oh, that's crazy. Interesting. Okay. I feel like, though, even in the movie, there was a lot she was thinking about, aka reading a shit ton and learning and all that stuff, but okay.
Well, I think, because in the beginning, when she was, like, going to the library and getting all those books and all that stuff, she was, like, her mind was being kept busy. But once she went to school and, like, everything that Miss Honey was teaching in class was stuff that she already knew. So that's when she, like, started developing her powers because she wasn't being challenged anymore.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. I feel that. Okay.
But yeah, that's all the trivia I've got.
We love that. Those were some strong trivias. And again, I think that mom passing away trivia was, I did not know that. I actually texted Sydney that right when you told me about it, because that's some crazy stuff.
Well, now that we're done with trivia, it's time to get wrecked. Do you have a recommendation for us?
Yeah. So recently, my partner, she doesn't eat meat, but she knows I eat meat. And she went to Colorado Springs and she came back with like a variety pack of beef jerky. And the beef jerky is called House of Jerky. And there are different types from, you know, the regular, you know, just regular beef jerky to black pepper beef jerky, teriyaki, and then there's like hot beef jerky. They were very, very, very good. So if you ever go to Colorado Springs, look for House of Jerky. It's worth it.
And that's real jerky?
Real jerky.
Because I tried some I think it was Beyond Jerky, and it's like plant based. Yeah, not meat.
Yeah. No, she did too, bro. She had a teriyaki one, and she said it tasted awful.
Really? I liked mine. I think it was a little tough. It wasn't as tender as real beef jerky, but I liked my fake jerky.
Huh. I don't know. She did not. And granted, maybe it's because she doesn't like the taste of meat all that well, and just the texture is not for her.
Yeah, because I know Elaine and I were eating some, like, she found when at one point she went to Trader Joe's, and because we don't have a Trader Joe's close to here, so it's like, it's a long ways away. But Elena went a few weeks ago and she got some like plant-based Korean beef, and we made it the other day, and Like Elena said, she like almost didn't like it because it tasted too real. She like asked me several times. She was like, are you sure this is fake? Like,
damn, they did a good job then. Good job mimicking it. Holy smokes.
Yeah, even Joe's, like, even for me, it was like, I could, like, if I focused on it, I could tell that it was not real meat. But like, if someone hadn't said anything and just like given me a bowl of it, I would never second guess it. Like, I would have just thought that it was real.
That's next level stuff. Yeah. Well, that is my get wrecked. Yeah. Oh, dude. So side story. Yesterday, you know, we were skiing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Afterwards, we went to a German place called Post. It's basically German sausages and whatnot.
Nice.
And my buddy, he got like this, you know, three different tasters of different types of sausages. One was snake, and I just forgot the name of the little, not ferret, snake and something. Another one was elk, and then another one was, what is like a baby deer called? A fancy name for deer.
Like a fawn?
No, there's like a fancy name for deer. Yeah.
Wait, for an adult deer or for a baby deer?
What is the adult deer name?
A male adult deer is a buck, and a female adult deer is a doe.
No. Sorry, I have to look this up. I literally just, venison.
Oh, you mean like the meat?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so one was venison, one was elk, and the other one was snake with, I forgot what the other one was. It was snake and something else, but man, they were all really good. I'll be real. That's kind of
crazy. I don't think I've ever had snake meat before.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was so good. Let me look. It was snake and something else. I'm mad I don't remember. Anyway, if it pops in my head, I'll probably say something.
All right. But, yeah. Well, my recommendation for this week is going to be Duolingo.
Okay, okay.
not a sponsor, not being paid to say anything nice about Duolingo, but I think it is a very helpful tool. Definitely not the only tool if you're trying to learn a language. I think you need more than Duolingo, but it is a very good tool for expanding your vocabulary. It makes it easy and fun to learn new words. But at the same time, there have been a couple times because I'm trying to, first of all, trying to keep up my French skills, because I took like 3 years of French, and it's, you know, it's hard when something is your second language. It's hard to like remember all of it when you're not using it very often. I feel like languages are a very use it or lose it kind of a skill.
Yeah, right.
And so when I was in French class and speaking a lot of French, I was really good at it. And when we went to Paris for our study abroad, I was like, I had a lot of opportunities to speak French and it was easier. But since then, like, I don't have any French friends, and Elena and I could speak French to each other, but it would be a struggle. And so we usually don't. And yeah. So I've been like, I've kind of been slipping on my French skills. So I've been trying to get back into it. And also because Elena is Dutch and her whole family is Dutch, and she is really excited for one day for our children to know Dutch. And so I would like to also learn Dutch, but learning languages is hard.
No, absolutely. And, it's not a joke. Yeah.
But I think Duolingo is a good starting place. But there are a lot of times where Duolingo will like teach me a word, and then Elena will be like, that doesn't feel quite right. Or it'll be like one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's technically correct, but like no one really says it like that normally.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, so you're just trying to keep up with the French side of things?
So French is just me practicing so I don't completely like forget everything. I'm a little bit more intense on the Dutch right now because I'm like actively trying to learn it.
Okay. Damn, good for you, man. Yeah, Dutch is a tough language to learn. You should switch that to German.
German's even harder.
No chance.
Yeah, no, bro. I've looked at some German, like German makes zero sense to me, but Dutch is like halfway between German and English. So I feel like at least 20% of the time, like the Dutch words are like pretty much English. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Cause that's like just the same as we say it in English.
I don't know, man. Dutch is weird. That's all I'm gonna say. And granted, I am German, so it's a little different. I'm biased here, but you know,
But like even mean. Like something as simple as like the what's the German word for water?
Wasser.
Yeah. See, the Dutch word is water. So it's exact. Other than changing the W to a V, it's exactly the same as English.
I mean, all we Germans change is the S sound.
Yeah, but I feel like there's like that's two changes now because you've done the W change and the T to an S.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's double the changes.
Yeah, but it's easy to learn that the W's in German are V sounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, a lot of time, even with, like, more complicated words, I feel like, and we talked about this a little bit when we were in Colorado. I remember we had that one car drive, yeah. And we were just, like, kept comparing German and Dutch words.
And they just did not work.
Yeah, but I feel like more often than not, Dutch words are, like, they sound more English to me than German words. And so it's easier for my brain to be like, okay, I know what that word means.
I feel you. Well, shit, that's awesome. Good for you. Yeah. So basically use it to learn languages. I mean, I've used it to brush up on my Spanish back in the day and it did me good. So
yeah.
Yeah. Although I know German, I should try it for German to see, you know, what it's like.
Yeah, do it. I will warn you though, Duolingo is kind of rude sometimes.
Oh, I know.
I think the last practice I did, it was like it made me. I don't even remember what it was. I think I was like it was like we were reviewing like size words like big and small, and one of the sentences was like, "I am a small man," and I was like, "Why are you gonna do me dirty like that, Duolingo?"
Yeah, and then they would like randomly message you like, "You fucking suck. Get back on here."
Yeah. They are like they're very positive reinforcement too, though, because I was slacking for a while and I wasn't doing it, and then I did one lesson and like later that day I got an email from Duolingo and I was like, "Good job getting back into it," and I was like, "Gee, thanks."
You're like, "Thanks, stop it." Well, shit, I think those were good things for people to look into and good things for people to try to eat and good suggestions of movies.
Yeah. And for our audience, I would just like to say, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. Wow. Okay.
CashFanPod.
If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. If you didn't understand my rambling just then, links for all of those things are in the description. Luca, what kind of messages can they send us?
We would love to hear anything from advice of, you know, what you liked in our podcasts, or suggestions of, you know, movies that you'd like us to go over. I know when I talk to a lot of my friends, they're like, "Hey, like you should do this movie, or you should, you know, review this and that." But I think, you know, rather than letting us know, go ahead and just like my friends telling me, like what I tell them to do, send us an email if you have a serious suggestion, and we'll look into it.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.